The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Ask the expert on The Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Standard Life. Retirement needs to be redefined. And as retirement experts, we're on a mission to do it.
It's my pleasure to be joined by Arthur Cummings, who is an ophthalmologist and medical director at Wellington Eye Clinic. Arthur, how are you?
Good morning, Jonathan. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good. Lovely to talk to you. This isn't something that I suffer from particularly, but I do have one of my kids. Yesterday, we were just out and about, started rubbing the eye, and all of a sudden the eye went red, and I almost had to kind of tie his hands down so that he would stop doing it. It really is the time of the year that people suffer from hay fever and their eyes are at the front of the storm.
You're absolutely right, and you did the right thing to stop him rubbing. So I'll give you a little bit of a brief overview of allergies in the eye. You know, so right now, tree pollens are at a high, but they're busy coming down in Ireland. Grass pollens are still very, very high, and they forecast to remain high for quite a good while yet. And wheat pollens have been very low. They've been basically at nil. And grass pollens are often July and August, and that's when people really rub. And this leads to itchy eyes due to allergic conjunctivitis. It's one of the causes. They're very good, excellent antihistamines you can use topically, so these are drops you can use, and the modern ones are once a day, so you just use them sort of dinner time, and they can really stop the itching and stop the whole thing from happening. Now, people often use oral antihistamines because the child anyway has other allergies, but they can sort of exacerbate the itching of the eyes because they can cause a bit of dryness. But here's where the whole thing about rubbing comes in. So when you start rubbing your eyes because it, you know, it sort of gives relief, people often use, or children use, their knuckles, fingers, or even the heel of their palm. And today, experts concur that up to 96% of keratoconus cases are thanks to eye rubbing. So this keratoconus condition is where the chronic eye rubbing, and you also have a congenital genetic predisposition to keratoconus, so when those two are combined, they form this deadly combination where the cornea starts changing its shape. The continuous rubbing leads to thinning of the cornea, and then just like a balloon that you're inflating, if there's a weak spot in the balloon, it blows up a bit more and forms a little cone. So that's where the name comes from. Kerato refers to cornea, and cone is this cone-shaped thing.
And yeah, in years the challenge, of course, is to stop people doing it. It's very hard, and that's one of the questions that came in there, that someone else's child does that the whole time. How does she stop it, or is there a solution that she can give to the child to stop that from happening so it doesn't become keratoconus?
Right, exactly. So the first thing is to know what keratoconus is and where it can lead to, and if the person's older, they very quickly stop rubbing when they find out what it can lead to. For the child, it's a bit more difficult. But if you continuously rub, eventually the cornea becomes damaged to such an extent that before 2007, it may require a corneal transplant, so a new cornea placed on the eye. But in 2007, a procedure was introduced called cross-linking, and cross-linking strengthens the cornea. So corneal transplants for keratoconus have gone down since cross-linking has been around. But as you did with your child, the very best thing to do is to stop the rubbing. Now, that's easier said than done. So if you can't stop it, what you can do is you can change the way the child rubs their eye. So we call this finger to bone. And every time that the child comes towards the eye, instead of using their knuckles or their fingers or the heel of their palm on the eyeball itself, you ask them or you show them how they can rub the inside corner of their eye against the nose, hence the term finger to bone. So you sort of press against the nose bone, but you're rubbing the inside corner. It gives almost the same relief, but now you're not damaging the eye at all. And the two other things you can do that are related, and the one is using the flat palm, is you just, on your brow, sort of lift the skin on the brow upwards, and that sort of pulls your upper lid off the eyeball, and the same with the lower lid. You can use your fingertips just to pull the lid down. And often when you just take the lids off the eyeball, that gives relief. But just remember, finger to bone, and you can really save a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I'm doing that. It's actually really, really effective. My eyes aren't at me this morning, but it is a good way of kind of pulling the skin away from the eye and giving that little bit of relief that you probably need.
And you're not hurting the eyeball. Yeah, that can, you know, since we do cross-linking, we started doing it in 2007, and when we see a person present now, the first thing we ask is, do you rub your eyes? And when we figure they do, and we show them how to stop rubbing, when they come back in 6 months to review, do they need the cross-linking, yes or no? Almost half of those have stopped rubbing. The cornea stops getting worse, and they don't need the cross-linking. So rubbing really plays a really big part. And if that's one message we get across today, I'll be really, really happy, especially this time of year.
Yeah, let's go to some of the questions that have come in. Someone in relation to this, I recently woke up with itchy, swollen eyes. They calmed down after a couple of hours, but it happened a few times since. Any idea what could be causing it? I'm not aware of any allergies.
All right, so we've just heard about the allergies to pollens. That's one of them. But then the other things that can cause it too, and especially if it's sort of randomly, and one of the biggest ones are feather pillows, especially down. Feather pillows, feather duvets. If you think that might be the cause, you can't just blame them because you have them. What you do is you use a sponge pillow for a couple of weeks. If you think things are improving, you bring back the feather pillow. If you think, you know, if you see things are getting worse again, and you do that a couple of times, you can start identifying them as a cause. Smoke in years gone by used to be a big cause. Plant material, so someone who's working in the garden and might touch their eyes, that's a big cause. Even sawdust, if you know, people are working in your house and there's some sawdust around, that could also do it. But they normally, it's something airborne. So often allergies are caused by washing powders and those types of things or foods. But around the eyelids, it's almost always airborne, something that you're either in direct contact with or that's coming through the air.
Someone else says, I suffer from swollen eyelids in the morning sometimes, but it goes away after a few hours. Any idea what's causing this?
Yeah, that would make you think of something happening during the night. So that's feather pillows, down duvet. I'd be thinking of those strongly.
Okay. I recently had a detached retina followed by surgery for repair. On a follow-up appointment, I was told I'd lost the vision in my eye. I am devastated. Any advice?
Yeah, that's really bad news if that is the case. But it happens. Most retinal detachments can be fixed very successfully, but there are 2 or 3% that they just can't be fixed. So the most important thing is to make sure that the other eye has no lesions that may predispose to retinal detachment. So that becomes the focus now, is the same retinal surgeon who did the surgery and gave the advice, let them, I'm sure they have, but double check the other eye and make sure there's nothing there that's a risk.
Okay, my 9-year-old recently said he sees colours differently than other people. Do I need to send him for an eye test?
I think so, and I think the main reason is really just for peace of mind for everyone concerned. You know, if it is the case that he is seeing colours differently, then he joins 8% of males. 8% of men have a colour deficiency, mostly with red-green, and 1% of females. And why that's important is just that you know it, first of all. You know it's nothing to worry about. There are some occupations that would be out of bounds, perhaps, like an electrician. Some airlines wouldn't allow pilots who are colorblind. Some medical specialties wouldn't either. So it's just to give you a reference of where you are and what's going on. And if it comes out that his color is normal, well, that's great. Then you're not worrying about it anymore. So, yeah, I would have it checked out.
When I close my eyes, there's a small white dot all the time. What could that be?
So that's very interesting. If it lasted for a short while, then often it would simply just be an after image. So prior to closing your eyes, you'd be looking at something that was quite bright. And when you close your eyes, you see that as a dark spot, but the spots next to it look quite bright. But that tends to last for a few seconds and then disappear. If this is there all the time and it's there in the dark when your eyes are closed, the most likely thing is just that the jelly inside the eye, you know, in everyone, as we get older, the jelly starts contracting. And when it contracts, it might still be attached to the retina in certain places. And if there's any traction of the jelly on the retina, you tend to see it as a flash or a flashing light. And if there's continual traction, you'll see it as a light that seems to be on in the eye. And it makes a lot of sense just to go and have that checked out again by an ophthalmologist, that they can make sure there's no issue. 1 in 10,000 people who experiences these flashing lights may lead to a retinal detachment, which is the problem we heard earlier. Mm. If you can address that up front and you can laser that area to protect yourself, that's a good, it's good practice. You're working preventatively. But again, I don't want to scare anyone. The risk once you're seeing flashing lights is typically 1 in 10,000 per annum. So the odds are in your favour. There won't be a major problem.
Absolutely. So, but get it checked out either way. My 8-year-old has recurring styes. I used a warm compress on him. Mixed results. What could be causing that?
Right. So recurrent styes, especially for a young person, the styes are basically where the little glands of the eyelid become blocked, the oil glands, and then they become infected by bugs that are on our hands. So they're called Staphylococcus aureus and Staphylococcus epidermidis. And everyone has these bugs on their hands, and they serve a very good purpose. They keep other bugs at bay. They sort of keep the flora normal. But they don't belong in the eye. So if your eyes are itchy this time of year, or there's some sort of irritation, and you tend to rub your eye, you introduce these little bugs into the eyelid margin, and the next thing you know is you've got a stye. So that's how it starts. If someone stops the rubbing, or they address it and it clears, but they find it keeps on recurring, then very often they're carrying those very same bugs in their nose, in the nostrils. And some people who carry them in the nose will get a recurrent sore nose from time to time, so they sort of they know about that. But many who carry them in their nose wouldn't know about it. And so now if you carry this in your nose and you happen to have an itchy nose and you just, you know, briefly rub your, the tip of your nose, and 2 minutes later you rub your eye, that's how you keep on reintroducing it.
So again, we're going back to finger to bone, as is the advice you're building up to here.
Exactly. And the other thing is, if you're getting them all the time, you can use a cream or ointment in the nose to eradicate them from the nose.
Okay, very good. Arthur, a pleasure as always. Arthur Cummins, ophthalmologist, medical director for Wellington Eye Clinic. As always, loads of questions for Arthur, which Pat will come back to at a later point. But that is it for the programme for today. Don't forget, you can listen back to the whole thing as podcasts on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. Just search for
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.